to the Parentpreneur Accelerator podcast, helping you build the business of your dreams while having time with the family you love. Here is your host, Cyril, the entrepreneur and proud dad, Alexis Kingsbury.
Thank you very much for your help, Ethan. Hi there, it's Alexis here, and in this week's episode, I am for the very first time actually interviewing some couplepreneurs, which in the form of Joshua Lysak and Judy Shaw, whom together are the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith LLC. And during the first half of the interview, I'm going to be talking to Joshua, and then we'll be switching about halfway through and talk to Judy. They're going to be doing a little bit of care sharing, where they switch their care for their young son. So we've got a real life example of parentpreneurs working and balancing time, looking after their little one. Starting with Joshua, he founded the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith LLC as the first certified ghostwriter in Ohio, a Forbes contributor ghostwriter, a TEDx speaker, a leading authority on author voice authenticity, and a two-time published novelist. And since 2011, he has ghostwritten 40 books. Judy is a vice president and editorial services manager of the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith. And alongside her husband, Joshua, Judy helps business owners, chief executives, coaches, consultants, and entrepreneurs write, publish, and market their books. And in just the past couple of years, some of Joshua's and Judy's author clients have had phenomenal results, which we'll discuss on the call. So in this episode, we'll discuss what a certified professional ghostwriter is and what the whole area of ghost publishing is all about and getting books published. And we'll also talk about being life partners and business partners and parents and how all of that works with them working and living and parenting together. So Joshua, to begin with, thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Alexis. I am thrilled to be here chatting with you today.
Fantastic. Well, let's start off from the beginning. What led you to start the business in the way that you did?
Yes. So it was, I guess you could say it was kind of by accident, actually. Going back to my college days, that was when I had this big dream that I was going to be a published novelist someday. You know, most people, they want to write a book someday, and they don't actually follow through. Well, before I was legal drinking age here in the States, I got a book deal to write two novels. I got those published, got those launched, rolled out. At the time, I had this freelance writing business kind of on the side, making some extra income, and I found those two worlds converge, kind of unintentionally, you might say. So my freelance writing clients would say things to me like, "Hey, you know, you wrote those novels. I really enjoyed checking those out. Is there any way you could help me write my book?" It wouldn't be a novel, obviously. It would be sharing my success stories, my life lessons. What the expertise that I could share with people in my industry, but I want it to be engaging like a novel, not boring like a textbook. Can you help me? For the longest time, Alexis, I said, no, that's not my thing. I write my own books. But there were enough clients who begged me to help them with their books. I said, fine, okay, I'll switch from, you know, writing copy for your business to writing in your voice as the author. And that was 8 years ago, and I've been saying yes to my clients ever since then.
Wow, that's fantastic. And historically, you know, you worked on in sort of variety of those industries and so on. What would you say is kind of key to being a good writer, or indeed a ghostwriter, or those sorts of the skills? What makes it something that both of you really enjoy and also something really you're already good at?
Yeah. So I like to think of ghostwriting as acting in print. Judy and I both have professional acting experience, so I think that lends itself well to this profession, because writing is one entire skill set. You know, proper grammar, communicating ideas succinctly, making sure that the idea is fully explored on the page, making sure that it's easily read. But ghostwriting is where you're saying, okay, how would this author uniquely communicate this idea? What would separate their description from anyone else's? How could I read this chapter from them, their name not be on it, and I feel their presence? I can sense their voice in it. And so that's what to us ghostwriting is. And so we make sure that everything that we write is in the voice of our author. So not only is it that first skill set, it's readable, it's enjoyable, it's edutaining, and it inspires people to take that next step. But in addition to that, it actually feels like the person that wrote it. And the 8 years that we've had this business, every single client has said to us, "I feel like I wrote it."
That's awesome. I love it. And so I mean, from the outside, it sounds like such a complex kind of level of, I suppose, as you say, like acting that you're having to do. Because as you say, it's not only are you having to create all of that content and do that writing, but having to, get in their shoes and write in their style and so on. I think, as you say, that analogy of the acting makes a lot of sense in terms of really understanding what's the character that you're portraying through that writing. And so, I mentioned before that you're the I believe first certified ghostwriter in Ohio. So what does it mean to be a sort of certified professional ghostwriter versus just normal ghostwriter? Is there a difference? Is it even possible to be not certified? What's the setup?
Sure. So to kind of compare your standard freelance writer from the certified professional ghostwriter, I believe on Upwork there are over 100,000 freelance writers, and many of these people do ghostwriting, and I'm sure worldwide there's a lot more than that. So we're talking hundreds of thousands of people who are, they offer some sort of a writing service. Certified professional ghostwriters, there are fewer than 50 on the planet, and I'm one of them. How you become a certified professional ghostwriter is at California State University, Long Beach. They offer the world's only academically sponsored ghostwriting training program. It's basically an apprenticeship, working alongside the most experienced ghostwriter in the world. She's written over 150 books. She has more New York Times, Wall Street Journal bestsellers than anyone else. She has more books turned into movies than anyone else. She has more books sold in any countries than anyone else. She's basically a prolific ghostwriter. She's since retired from that profession, and so she teaches now this class through California State. I do have to say, it was a lot more difficult and challenging than any of my degrees that I received, because it's not just taking a class, taking the test, showing up for the assignments. It is demonstrating absolutely professional proficiency in all areas of brainstorming a book idea, outlining a book, preparing the chapters, writing in the voice of the client, promoting the book, publishing the book, writing a book proposal to get a book deal for a client. How do you manage the relationship between the agents and the authors? It's like everything about the business of book writing and selling this program was about. So I completed that at the 7 year mark. Just to write about the 7 year anniversary of starting my business. And it's been truly empowering to kind of say, hey, there's this set of knowledge that this the world's most experienced ghostwriters have, and I was able to attain that through the program. So that was quite a blast, and so many of my clients appreciate a lot of what we were able to take away from that experience in becoming a certified professional ghostwriter.
That's fantastic. And what really sticks out to me as well is, as you say, I mean, there's a big difference between liking writing or even being good at writing and having gone through the process that you've done, but also the fact that it extends so much further than just the writing and actually into the publishing and the selling and so on. So, what in terms of working with a client and what someone might, I suppose to flip it around a different way, if someone was working with a certified professional ghostwriter and doing the publishing and so on, which bits do they do? Because to some extent, it's like, brilliant. Do I just Say, Joshua, yeah, could you? I'd really like to do a novel or a self-help book on a particular topic. Let me know when I can go and buy it from my local bookstore. I suspect I have to do a little bit more than that. So, what does your client have to do as part of the process?
Yeah, just to tell you a little bit more than saying you're hired, now go write the book. There's actually a couple of things depending on the client and the situation. There are quite a few e-commerce entrepreneurs that we talk to, whether they are whether they're product marketers or they produce info products like courses, masterminds, things like that. In those cases, they have this whole body of work that they've produced. You know, whether it is through one-on-one consulting and coaching, they have, let's say, a framework that they teach. Maybe they've produced ebooks to help generate leads. Maybe they have an online course through a platform like Teachable or Thinkific that they've produced in the past. What we do is we look at what they've produced in the past and we ask, what can we repurpose here for their book? What can we reformat for print? What can we even kind of repackage along with some fresh examples and some case studies? So in that case, we can put to use the work that they've already created. We had one client in Florida earlier last year who we compiled all of his material together, and he had over 100,000 words of content. So we wow. had to find about a 40,000-50,000 word book within that $100,000 or 100,000 words worth of content. And that was, of course, a task that he like, I don't want to touch this. So yeah. In his case, he had very little involvement. It was in an hour a month, basically, where we would go back and forth in the chapters. He would say, hey, I want to change this word here, move this word here. I want to add a sentence to close out the chapter here. So very little time investment on his end. Other authors, their expertise is service-based. So they're speakers, they're consultants, they have a lot of industry knowledge. And in that case, what we need to do is elicit the full scope of the book from inside of their heads, because there's a lot of things that we couldn't necessarily research and go onto Google Scholar and find some studies to back that up. So in that case, what we do is we hop on WhatsApp or Voxer and we shoot over some questions to the client. Let's say around, okay, chapter one is going to be about this topic. So we'll have, 3 to 5 questions around that topic. And whenever they get a chance during their very busy days, they'll, record a 5-minute response, 10-minute response. And we take all of those and we turn that into kind of our source material for the chapter. And then we fully flesh that out, exploring every example, turning, hey, I said to this person said this to me, kind of like a story where they're kind of saying, here's what happened. And we flesh that out into an entire scene with characters and dialogue. So basically, it's all their ideas, their vision, but it comes to life. And they'll have to spend a couple of minutes here and there to give us what we need to produce chapters.
That's amazing. I love that. And even in just the past couple of years, I believe some of your clients have had some phenomenal results as part of going this process. I mean, what have they had? What should people can expect from it? Because as you say, a lot of people kind of have this dream of doing a book, but few realize it or get the time to do it. So what's kind of the result and the impact that it has once they've been through this process and got their book out?
Right. Well, most people don't realize that the big money from a book comes not from sales, but from all of the open doors that result from authoring a book. Because you now have, as an author, you have the ultimate authority, credibility, brand building, expertise establishing marketing tool. I always like to bring up the quote from guerrilla marketing author J. Conrad Levinson, who said something to the effect of, my book, Guerrilla Marketing, this is Jay talking, only paid me about $35,000 in royalties, but the speaking, the spinoff books, the newsletters, the boot camps, the consulting, all of that together amounted to roughly $9,965,000. That's pretty incredible when you compare. Yeah. Here's what I got from the book. Here's what I got from everything that the book created as opportunities for us. And so we make sure that every client we take on, we capitalize on all of the additional revenue creation opportunities that can result from launching a book. And just a few of those in the past few years have been things like using the book to build a $1 million product funnel, converting readers into consulting clients, so many that they've had their very first waiting list in their service business ever. Things like exceeding their book sales goals by 200% and converting many of those people into clients, averaging even 10,000 copies sold per month, which is huge for an author because then you're generating leads, you're converting book readers into product buyers. And then in one case, we had an author who achieved a 70x return on her investment in this entire process. And that was because she designed her book to get people so excited about implementing her wisdom and her strategies that they were almost to the point of feeling overwhelmed. Like, I want to do this. I'm not quite sure how to start, where to start. I need some additional support. And so we tucked some casual, nonchalant invitations in the in you know throughout the book to get additional free resources, to download a video training, and take it to the next level. And so many people were so excited to do that that they ultimately became buyers for one of her flagship programs. And so that's how she turned turned non-customers into first-time buyers and then into high-ticket clients.
That's amazing. I love that, and I think your points are so valid around the money doesn't come from selling the book, right? And this is something that we've talked about in previous episodes of the Preppreneur Accelerator podcast. But it's the way that you break that down and how you make it so clear, like specific opportunities and ways in which you can use it. I think it makes it really clear and a lot more. And sort of less overwhelming, I guess. I think that's one of the concerns or issues that a lot of people have when it comes to a book is it seems like such a big thing to do, and in many ways it is. But also it's not, it's because partly because it's not just about the content for the book or the concept or even the publishing. It's all the stuff around it. It's kind of that book has to be just part of an ecosystem. Yeah, getting supported as part of that has got to be key, which I guess in previous episodes I've talked to some parentpreneurs who have had books published and have had publishers that have taken their books and published. I've had some that have self-published. In terms of where you sit, I believe that you've kind of landed more on the self-publishing route, but you kind of have got quite a nice mix, I guess, because you also work with some of the big publishers as well. Do you? Is how does that work, and how do you get kind of the best of both worlds?
Sure. There are authors that we have that say, I definitely want to go independent. There's others who say, I want what the traditional publishing path author offers. I want agent, I want an editor, and I want to go through that process. And we do have a book proposal process that we take authors through to help them get that nice book deal. But I'll tell you, most of our our clients are experts and entrepreneurs. And for those people, it's very important to work on their business, to think strategically, to position their schedule right, to make sure all the products are coming along nicely. In the traditional publishing model, you have very little say over the end product. That is your book. They get to choose what the title is, what the cover looks like, even what you say. If they don't like something that you say, they'll take it out. And I find that most entrepreneurs don't want to give up that control. So what we've done is we've created a process similar to kind of ghostwriting. We call it ghost publishing, where, like with ghostwriting, you get to be the author and someone else does all the work. With ghost publishing, you get to have an independent publishing business inside of your business, but again, not having to do any of the work. So what ghost publishing looks like is we've taken the pros of self-publishing and traditional publishing, and we've taken the cons out of it. So the pros of self-publishing might be things like much higher royalties. You have total control over the process. A pro of traditional Big Five publishing might be things like everything is industry standard professional quality. You have global reach. You're getting opportunities to go on podcasts and go on radio and TV interviews. And of course, one of the cons of traditional Big Five publishing is you're making a couple of cents per copy of the book sold. And in the same way, so with self-publishing, a con might be there is no typically there's no quality control in a lot of self-published books. Actually, not a lot, but 90% of all self-published books sell fewer than 100 copies in the lifetime of the book, just because they're very much so thrown together. So the various pros we've combined, we've eliminated all of the cons. And so authors get to have the independent publishing experience at the quality of an industry standard traditional publishing experience. And that's what facilitates authors going from having a manuscript to having a thought leadership product, their book, that opens these additional doors of opportunities for them and for their business.
Yeah, really nice. I love the model that you put together there, and I think it speaks to something that we've talked about in previous episodes, where it's about, you know, how do you identify who's that target customer and what's the specific gap that they have that you can really help with. And I think you've put together a really nice solution there that solves a number of well, as you say, it supports that getting the pros and not the cons, and specifically for that. That target audience. And as a result, your business has been doing really well. You founded the Entrepreneurs Wordsmith back in 2011, is that right?
That's right. Yeah. This will be 8 years in business.
Fantastic. And I know that Judy then joined in 2018. And so how's that been? Because obviously you've had to make a transition there, and for quite a while it was, you know, you running it, and then you brought in Judy. Firstly, what was the reason for kind of getting to that point where you decided, yep, it was the right thing to bring Judy in, and how did you kind of manage that transition?
Well, the thing I've appreciated about Judy and what ultimately brought her into this business is her, I would even say her intuition and her insight around storytelling. So like I said, you know, she has quite a bit of professional acting experience, you know, stage management, working on scripts, working with actors and actresses, you know, that performance where you're creating an experience for the audience. And before she joined the business, I would ask her, you know, get her thoughts on this or that book project. And the advice she always said, that she gave me was always spot on. It'd be things like, well, if you said it this way, it'd be a lot easier for people who don't understand it to grasp that idea and take action on it. And I think, oh, wow, that's exactly. And so I just realized, like, it made sense from a professional perspective to bring her into the business, bring her on board, you know, out of her career in retail management into the business, just because what she has to offer is so good. And so I think it's so useful for this business. But yeah, I think even coming down to us as partners and as parents, you know, what we always wanted is for both of us to be present with our son, you know, not like where I'm, you know, putting in 80 hours a week and she's stuck at home, you know, with the baby, but that we're all here together as a family, having a family business. And so being able to bring her into the business, it was great. I mean, I work for a few hours in the morning. I get up pretty early, and when she gets up, I take our little boy Wesley. I strap him into the little carrier, and I'm on a yoga ball. I'm bouncing him for about an hour while he sleeps as I'm working. I joke he's my little intern while I'm working for an hour. I'd have a couple of meetings in the mornings usually, and then we switch, and she's working for a few hours in the afternoon, and then usually we switch back. So we're both putting in quite a bit of time in the business, basically doing what each of us do best.
That's awesome. And how do you kind of make sure that you've still got that balance that means that you've got time together as a family? Because, of course, there's a risk, a hypothetical risk there, the way it's like, you know, you're working from 5 a.m., 6 a.m., and then you switch over, and then she's working until very late. And that means the time you're getting together becomes kind of the handover of your collaboration project in Wesley. So how do you make sure that actually you still get time as a proper family kind of unit and keep that kind of connection?
Well, actually, it's the same way that we make sure that we give our clients all the attention that they need, is scheduling. If it's not on the calendar, it doesn't happen. So we have like a recurring date throughout the week. We have, you know, recurring events that are just for, you know, for us as a family that we do outside of the home. Not necessarily every night, but most nights, and we're taking walks, you know, and going out to the park as a family. Judy will take Wesley out for a few events, like little kid events, like, you know, baby yoga, baby music, things like that, while I have calls. And so Weston gets to be around other children. We get to spend time together as a family. We get to go out and be apart from work. So really, just putting it on the schedule, recurring events, so that it's part of a routine. We have it to look forward to. That we're finding that works pretty well for us.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love it. The concept of scheduling and designing your life and structuring it is something that we've talked a lot about in previous episodes of the podcast. And I love the fact that you're applying that to making sure you get time together, because it's certainly a big challenge for a lot of parentpreneurs. I think it's hard enough creating a business. It's doubly hard when you then add bringing up a child. And then when you then toss in there, actually, you also need to nurture a loving relationship between two independent human beings. It can sometimes be impossible. So yeah, I really like some of the strategies that you've got there. And on that topic, I think it's probably time for us to do some switching over. So if possible, Joshua, if you could see if you get hold of Judy and unstrap and restrap on your backpack with the little one in, and we'll hopefully get to talk to Judy next. So hi there, Judy. We've switched over. Joshua's gone off and is now fulfilling his fatherly duties. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Alexis. It's good to talk to you.
Fantastic. Well, I mean, you've had a very exciting career history. You've had experience as a professional actress, performer, and stage manager in New York and Ohio, plus experience in retail sales and store management. So you've had a lot of experience before joining Josh's business. How's those experiences been important for you? Then joining Joshua in the Entrepreneur's Wordsmith?
Yeah, you're right. I've definitely dabbled in a little of this and a little of that. if you had told me 5 years ago that I would be a partner in a ghostwriting business, I would definitely look at you like you had four eyes. But I gotta say, the transition into joining Joshua's business was easier than I thought it would be. When he had first approached me about it, honestly, I'm like, what do I know about writing books, right? But it's amazing how much experience as an actor and as a storyteller, improving, how similar that is to telling a story on the page. And then in addition to that, my experience managing a health food store, managing a retail environment, having to be super organized and super disciplined, that really comes in handy in this business as well. And funny thing, when I was a kid, one of the ways that my mom used to teach me proper grammar and proper spelling and that sort of thing, she would find a newspaper article or something that had a typo in it, and she would give it to me and make me try to find the typo, which I found very annoying at the time. But I think one of the things I do in the business is I do a lot of the proofreading and little editing and that kind of thing. And I think that definitely helped me be, a good proofreader today.
Nice. So yeah, you've basically been preparing for this role your entire
Yeah,
life.
I guess you could say that. Yeah.
Despite that lifelong preparation, you initially thought that joining the business wasn't a good idea. But then following Wesley's birth, you kind of changed your mind and joined then. So
For sure.
what was the reason that you didn't think it'd be a good idea? And why did you change your mind? And we'll cover whether you regret it or not afterwards.
Well, I won't keep your audience in suspense. I definitely do not regret
Good.
it. when I kind of talked to friends of mine while I was still pregnant about maybe joining Joshua's business, and I remember one friend at our baby shower said, "Don't you love your husband? Why would you want to work with him? That will just make you hate each other." And I gotta say, I heard, other people saying similar things. And maybe, other people's marriages work that way, but Joshua and I, we get along so much better when we spend more time together. I mean, that's why we're married in the first place, is because we love spending time together. And working together just gave us a whole new way to spend more time together. When we first found out that we were expecting Wesley, you know, I researched, you know, maternity leave and, you know, working while being a parent and, you know, pumping and all of that good stuff, because I was planning on breastfeeding. And I was sort of trying to wrap my head around what it was going to look like to take time off and go back to work. And the more I read and the more I talked to other people, and the more Joshua and I, you know, sort of talked about what it would look like for me to work from home, the more I saw like how much simpler and easier motherhood would be if I wasn't, you know, having to get childcare, having to tote a breast pump around with me all of the time. And now having, you know, gotten to experience that, I honestly can't imagine doing it the other way. So I am so fortunate and so grateful that Joshua had, you know, built this amazing business that I could, you know, really just jump into and join. And then by working together, you know, we're able to expand and do even more and really up the ante, really up the quality of the things that we produce. And so, yeah, I definitely don't regret it.
That's awesome. And how's it been? Because, you know, it's a tricky one for an entrepreneur generally to both to delegate, to find good people, to find to develop those good people into specific roles, and to kind of slowly give up different parts of the business and hand over processes and relationships and so on. You know, that's tricky at the best of times, and most entrepreneurs will go through multiple staff members before they start to really work out how to hire well and delegate properly and so on. So for you, from the outside, what's that been like? Yeah, indeed. So how's that kind of worked as you've come into the business? Because it's, you know, it's not been that long, and yet you've got you're now very involved and embedded in various parts of the business. So how's that process been? What's made that work well?
Yeah, well, it's not like if I didn't work out, he could fire me now, is it?
Well, indeed.
That would be awkward. So before I really, you know, joined him and started working more in the business, you know, he did kind of go through people that were, you know, taking on, how do you say it, like busy work, menial tasks that he really shouldn't have been wasting his time on. And when I, you know, started doing more editing and that sort of thing, it sort of came apparent that the things he was trying to find somebody to do, I could really just step in and take care of. So that really worked out. And I got to say, in the beginning, he was very intent on doing everything himself. And I think through, you know, working through the business and talking things out, we've definitely gotten better at delegating things that, okay, you know what, this is not something that I have to do. We could have someone else do this. And hey, it might be even better than if we had tried to do it ourselves. And that really lets us focus on the creative tasks and, you know, deliver more value to our clients.
That's really good. And, you now run a certified professional ghostwriting company, despite, as you say, not knowing that would happen. And so what's it been like working with aspiring authors to kind of help, I suppose, really realize their dreams? What's that been like as an experience for you?
Yeah, super exciting. When you're helping people write their stories and put their books together, you learn a lot of interesting things. I have learned so much just by working on, you know, a variety of different books on a variety of different subjects. It's definitely a great learning experience. You know, we work with a lot of people who are subject matter experts in their field, right? The thing that they do better probably than anyone else in the world. That doesn't mean that they're going to be the best at telling their story. You know, anybody can hop on a phone call with Joshua and tell them, you know, their story and what they know about and what they want to share with the world. That's a lot easier than actually trying to sit down, put it on paper, and put it on paper in a way that makes it interesting that other people will actually want to read it, right? That it doesn't just read like a, you know, a blog article. So yeah, that's what we do. We help people tell their stories. So it's not that, you know, we're not making up other people's stories, obviously. We're taking the stories that clients tell us and we're just shaping them and massaging them into a book that people actually want to read, an actual commercially viable product.
That's awesome. And I love how it's clear that you have fully bought into, you know, what the vision and the passion that Joshua has for what you're doing in that business and that
for
you're
sure.
sharing it, which is really, really nice. Because, you know, I come across and work with a lot of entrepreneurs. And there are cases where, you know, the partner has been kind of brought in and maybe it's more of a kind of admin role and, that, you know, that can still work because, it, you know, you get to work together and you can be,
sure.
It can work for childcare and so on. But I think sometimes there's that missed opportunity to really, you know, really collaborate together on a greater vision. So that rather than just being kind of replacing, as you say, kind of busy work or work that would normally be outsourced or whatever, given to administrators, you're really partnering, collaborating. And I think that's really nice.
I'm super lucky. You know, I jumped into this. I'm sorry, I didn't mean
to. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I jumped into this whole entrepreneur lifestyle kind of after the hard work was done. So really, I got the easy job there. I mean, Joshua had already built this, you know, amazing business. He had done all of the hard work of learning how to sell and, you know, learning advertising and bookkeeping stuff and finding an accountant and all, you know, all the boring stuff. And I basically just got to jump in and join in the fun work. Who couldn't be passionate about that?
Indeed. No, that's really nice. And I think there must have been things that have been challenging, whether it's coming to joining into that business or whether it's around work-life balance or anything. What have perhaps been some of the biggest challenges that as you've gone along and how did you either individually or together overcome them?
Yeah, so I went from working full-time or... let's be honest, more than full time at a retail store. I managed a health food store and it was a lot of hours. It was a stressful job. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it, but I was doing a million different things. I was talking, you know, to at least 100 people a day. I was problem solving. I was running around. I was constantly on my feet, right? And then I go from that to a job where I am sitting in a chair in front of a computer at home. It's very different, right? And before I joined the business, I remember some days, like after I had a long day, right, like running around and talking to people, I would want to come home and be like, man, can we just like watch a movie? And Joshua would be like, no, come on, let's go out, let's do something, right? We just had these like totally different days. So honestly, like the biggest challenge for me business-wise, I mean, it wasn't the work. I definitely enjoyed the work right away. It honestly, it came pretty easy to me. It was the, oh my gosh, I'm working from home. I'm taking care of a child at home. I'm at home all of the time. I need to get out of here. I need to do something. that was the most challenging part. And the first thing that we did to overcome that was we established a weekly date night. So every Monday night, we do something that constitutes as a date. Now, obviously, you know, with a little baby, we're not going to candlelit restaurants. But, you know, whether it's going, you know, going for a walk if it's nice outside, you know, going out to eat, doing something that constitutes a date.
Nice.
Meanwhile, one of us has Wesley in the carrier. He's there with us. It's like a family date. But making sure, you know, that we do that thing that we, you know, get to look forward to all week. And by putting it on Monday, then we don't have to dread Monday because we always have something to look forward to.
Oh, that's really nice. Yeah, I like that. I was wondering, I was thinking, oh, why Monday? But that's, that makes really perfect sense. And I love the fact as well that I think date nights can sometimes be a little bit scary for people because it's kind of like, right, we've got to have this really important big deal called date night, and we're going to need to organize a sitter and all these sorts of things. And I love the fact you've kind of said, actually, even if it's just a walk or just going out for dinner or whatever, and actually it's fine if the little one comes along, but it's about having that thing that you're going to do. And so that's a really nice setup. Any other kind of tips or suggestions that you'd make for anyone who's kind of considering working within a business with their partner, or any questions they should be asking before they embark on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, you know, make sure that you actually like spending time with your partner. Because if you don't, you're probably not going to enjoy working in their business.
Very true, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, Joshua and I were very fortunate. We always loved spending time together, and we always missed each other when he was, you know, working, either, you know, from home or from other places, you know, with his computer, and I was gone, you know, maybe pulling a double shift because one of my employees called off sick. You know, it sucked to be away from each other. So just getting to spend that time together was really awesome. So I would say make sure that you enjoy spending time with your partner. One thing that made it, I guess, easier for me before I really made the decision to jump in, Joshua handed me a couple of things like, you know, can you look at this chapter for me and see what you think of it? What changes would you make? And we did that, you know, several times. And then it got to be like, you know, kind of a once a week thing. Oh, I wrote this article for a client. Can you proofread it for me? Does it make sense? You know, and the more that I did that, the more confident I got in suggesting changes. And the more it just sort of came naturally, and the more I could really see myself doing that, you know, all the time. So if possible, I would say, test it out, you know, sample it out, get in a situation where you can try it out one day a week or try out a task or two, see how you feel about it. I mean, in the beginning, I was like, so unconfident, you know, can I do this? Is this something that I would even be good at? Do I know what I'm doing? And once I, you know, sampled it out and did a few tasks here and there, I saw that, yes, you know, I am good at this. I can do this. I can more than just contribute to the business. I can help grow it. So that's the one thing that I would say. And then, it definitely changes things when you have a little one in the mix, trying to find that balance. And back to, you know, what you were saying about so many people put so much pressure on date night, like they feel like they have to get a sitter and put on makeup and a fancy dress. That really should go for everything, I think. Take the pressure off of yourself. Parenthood, running a business, those things are hard enough. Make it easy on yourself. Why make things harder? If you know that something is going to stress you out and you're just doing it because you feel like you should, or you read an article that said that it would be a good idea, take the pressure off. Do things that make you feel good. Back to date night. I mean, taking Wesley with us was easy. Like, we got to get out as a family, you know, do something together. And honestly, like, I would always just spend more time together as a family. And that was really nice in the beginning when Wesley was little. He was a newborn. He was on the boob all the time. So I could just hold him with one arm and type with the other.
Nice. Well, I love that advice, Judy. That's absolutely amazing. And I think the making it easier on yourself and taking the pressure off is fantastic advice for both parenting and running a business, and certainly doing both at the same time. So thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, that's all we've got time for, but it's been so awesome talking to you and Joshua. Thank you very much for your time. It's been awesome to hear about your amazing success as a couple and as parentpreneurs. I love the business, The Entrepreneur's Wordsmith. For anyone that's interested in learning more about you two and the great work that you do with entrepreneurs, where can they find you and kind of learn more?
Sure, yeah. You can definitely visit our website. It's www.theentrepreneurswordsmith.com. Joshua has some great videos on his YouTube channel. It's The Entrepreneur's Wordsmith Show. If you're maybe thinking about writing a book, but you don't know if it's the right thing for you, definitely check out some of his videos. They are informative as well as entertaining. And thank you so much for having us on. This has just been such a blast.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. I'll make sure I include those links in the show notes. And yeah, it's been amazing talking to you too. I'll let you get back to the little one. And thank you so much again, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You as well. Cheers.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and have taken away some ideas that you can put into practice. You can find the links to any resources mentioned in this episode over on the show notes at parentpreneur.com/podcast. If you found this podcast useful, then please review it on iTunes. 5-star review ratings would absolutely make my day. Also, please join the conversation on this episode. Just head over to the Parentpreneur Accelerator community on Facebook, where you'll find other parentpreneurs that are sharing their experiences and helping each other to succeed. To find the group, just visit parentpreneur.com/community. Thanks very much.